When I went down to Houma, Louisiana, and walked in to see who was controlling all of the aircraft and the collection of imagery they were doing, it was this one Coast Guard commander who had bright red hair. But what I noticed that was most remarkable about him was his eyes were as red as his hair. It was unbelievable the amount of work they were doing. They had a tight-knit group of aviators who were there, and their job, because this was a massive incident, we jumped up from something the Coast Guard usually does in a major search and rescue case, 4, 5, 6 aircraft flying at one time. When I went down, I was sure they were managing 20 aircraft. But when I walked in, he said, "No, we have 100 aircraft." And what's happening is somebody says, "I see oil," and planes convert so everyone can get a picture.
Wow.
And we really had some near mid-air incidents.
Yeah. Wow.
And that drove us to two things. One is to set up an organization. We used Tyndall Air Force Base to establish an air operations command to be able to deconflict traffic, to set up temporary flight regulations to make sure that the aircraft didn't run into each other. But the second was these commander critical information requirements. What does the commander need? Build a collection plan and make assignments on which aircraft would actually collect for the commander. And finally, on every knee board for the pilots who went out, a knee board is like their instructions of what they're to do in that particular mission, we were able to put on at the very bottom how to get that data to IRMA. When we brought together everyone to do remote sensing from the air and space, one of the things we found out that was that we were competing with one another. In one incident, when I brought in the chief scientist for BP, and we had our NGA, the National Geospatial Agency lead, was in with us. The NGA guy was mad because he was trying to buy commercial satellite imagery, but BP beat him to the punch, so we didn't have access to it. And I said, "Wow, we're competing with each other, probably driving the price up for BP to buy that data." But the bottom line was we needed to be able to establish a plan and who was going to collect it, and once we collected it, make it usable to everybody, to the full incident. And by building that collection plan, what we were able to say was, this is the authoritative source of data. That person is the one who we're going to allow to place into IRMA, and that will be our official answer. So there was a lot of that work that was going on behind the scenes to make sure that as we looked at everybody collecting data, we determined who is collecting it correctly and had the most accurate data, and that was the one we designated for display in our systems. One of the challenges we had with being able to get vessels into recoverable oil, let me restate, it's a challenge to be able to get into recoverable oil from the surface of the water. I've been a ship captain, and I ran our ships that actually have skimming equipment, and I've responded to an oil spill. So once you're in the oil, you can collect and skim away, but as soon as you leave the oil, to turn around and say, "Where do I find it again?" is near impossible because you're at eye level with the oil. So you have to get an aircraft into the air. One of the challenges we had was these aircraft who were up in the air, and they would look down and see these vessels and yell down, "Hey, vessel with the white top," move 100 yards into the oil. And you'd hear back on the voice radio, "Who, me? Who, me?" That didn't work very well. So we spent a lot of time having the aircraft dive down to try to read the name off of the vessel and then come back up and call down and tell them by name. So what did we do with that? We actually worked the White House. Duct tape does everything. You're right. But what we ended up doing was taking transponders that it's actually a two-way communication system. We asked Walmart came in, and they said, "We think we can help you with this problem." And they had a truck tracker system. And on that truck tracker, it was really a two-way paging. But the neat thing is it had two things, cellular and satellite data. Okay, because these vessels would go offshore and get out of cellular coverage. So that was a big problem that we had to work to address. So we did a prototype of putting this truck tracker system on board the vessel. And then up in an airship that we had deployed, we used an iPad. And on that iPad, they were able to connect back to Qualcomm's data center to see their website. We didn't connect this into IRMA. But they got back to their data center, and they could actually see the vessel below them. And when they saw them and looked at it, they go, "Oh, yeah, that's the vessel I mean." They'd click on it, and we built applications quickly to be able to send a two-way page, you move 100 yards into oil. I think that's the way we're going to go in tomorrow. But some challenges of this phone today, while it's a cellular phone, there are new phones that are right around the horizon. They're coming to market now that are dual band. They also have satellite. If we're able to get that and overcome the telephone line problem we have out at sea or in some remote areas like the southwest border, as an example, if we're going to do a security incident, we can still do the app for that. Turn this into the single device that allows me to not only track the people, I could have handed this to vessels of opportunity, track them, wouldn't have had to screw in all of those things into the hull. They could have reported it out their situation. And quite frankly, one of the other pieces is when we have to communicate, one of our other major challenges was actually putting radios in the hands of everybody. We can turn these, because they're IP-based, we can turn them into radios so they can interoperate with land mobile radio systems. And I really think that's the area 5 years down the road that this becomes the solution for our responder. We've traditionally delivered systems, be it radio systems, computer systems, kind of focused on a specific capability. And what we've turned, I tell our CBP partners, Customs and Border Protection, that because we're trying to build interoperable systems, we're actually turning our responders to walking radio stations. That has to stop. And so the lesson learned is really that there is a desperate need to be able to turn everybody who's part of a response, whether it's an environmental, safety, or national security incident, that we need to be able to turn them into part of the team. To do that, we're going to have to give them, make sure they have a device that can accept applications, that can communicate across multiple bands, that can provide a picture and tell us where they are. To do that, we really have to move forward to enable these very powerful IP-based devices to meet our needs.